T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listen, everybody, cause I'm back again. Don't take no mess at the Rose Garden. Blazers, they're on fire. They're what we desire. The men in black can handle it. Other teams can scrabble it. How they win that game today. There's just one thing you can say.
How does Scotty shoot that three?
Believe me, it ain't easy.
How did Bryant jump so sweet?
Believe me, it ain't easy.
It's the flying dive that's in your lap. As Damon takes it to the rack.
Let's go to the top now, because, like, is Charlotte really going to, like, I never know how much of this stuff is posturing and how much of this stuff is trying to throw teams off, you know, of what you're doing. Is Charlotte really going to go Brandon Miller at 2 over Scoot?
It sounds like it. Now, bear in mind, it sounded last year like it was going to be Jabari Smith until, like, 90 minutes before the draft.
Right.
But I don't know. The difference is, I know Michael Jordan. We know how he drafts. He loves power conference guys. He loves superstar, like, he loves, like, wings, and he loves guys who are, like, really famous. And, like, Brandon Miller is the most famous college basketball player in this draft. He may not be the best college basketball player in this draft, but he is the most famous. And I can understand, I don't believe in drafting for need, but I can understand the idea that they still want LaMelo to be their number one guard. Uh-huh. And they don't have any wings, like, at all. Like, Oubre is kind of a wing, and he's fine. You're not worrying about a Kelly Oubre when you have the number 2 pick. Gordon Hayward is still competent, but he's
just can never stay healthy.
He's toast. Like, he's done.
Yeah.
And I feel like they think they have their center. I think they have Mark Williams. And I think Mark Williams can be a decent starting center. You just gotta get more guys around him. I would honestly trade that pick. If you're not gonna take Scoot, trade it. And try and get, like, the Magic's picks. Just try and get a couple, because again, they just need talent. Like, they have maybe they bring Miles Bridges back, unfortunately. Maybe that helps, but I don't know, man. They just don't have – they have the lowest talent floor in the league, I think, pretty easily. Because even the Wizards still have, like, Kuzma's there, Beal's there.
Porzingis.
Monte Morris is fine. Yeah, Porzingis, Dan Gafford. Like, they have 6 or 7, like, legit NBA players. They're just not – the roster doesn't make any sense. Whereas, like, the Charlotte has, like – I mean, they have a lot of guys I kind of like in concept, like JT Thor, Kai Jones, even, like, a guy like James Bouknight. But none of those guys have done much of anything in the league. They have PJ, who needs to be rescued from there. Get him out of there. Let PJ be, like, the 5th starter for the Suns or something. Please, anything else.
So are you somebody who, because I, when I had Ricky on last week, he said, you know, the way he has it, he has, obviously, Wemby is in his own tier, and then Scoot is in his own tier below that, and then he kind of goes from there. Do you have Miller? I'm assuming you have Wemby and Scoot as the top two, but do you have Miller third, or do you have somebody else ahead of him?
No. In fact, I disagree with Ricky. Not only do I not have Miller third, I have him, I think, 7th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's in my – so I have it – I didn't want to
– And is this based on the basketball stuff, or is this based on
– Pretty much entirely, yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, as Ricky said, and I agree, he doesn't get a lot of easy buckets in the paint. He doesn't get to the – he got better at it, to his credit, and to Nate Oates' credit, the coach who got him involved in more interesting stuff. But he has some of the Cam Reddish problem where, like, he just doesn't have, like, burst, like, real explosiveness going up to the rim. And he's not, like, big and strong enough to just bowl through people like RJ Barrett kind of does. And, like, I don't really know where the easy buckets are coming from for this guy if he's going to be, like, your number one scorer. And there's always a guy like that. Like, every year, I was not an RJ Barrett guy at the top. I was not a DeAndre Hunter guy. I was a Jarrett Culver guy, which was my mistake. I mean, Bagley was almost too easy. But even Aiden, I was like, I'm not taking. I had Jaren over Aiden. I had Trey over Aiden. I had Shea over Aiden. I had Luke over Aiden. Obviously, that, right. that doesn't. I don't get credit for that. There's just some guys. It's just like I don't see. I really feel like you have to be. You really have to order it like. These are the guys who could be a number one star player. And in this draft, to me, there are three and maybe Whitmore if you really, really, really believe in him. And I believe in him, but I don't really believe in him like that. So I have it. Wemby is one tier. And then I have Scoot and Amen Thompson as a tier.
Okay.
And then it's like Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, Brandon Miller, Asar Thompson, Bryce Sensabaugh, all those guys. Like another group of like this. These guys could be like mid-20s usage, like all-star level guys. So it's Miller's just not—he's not a guy to me that I'm drafting. Even like Ricky compared to Brandon Ingram, I don't know, man. I don't think he's that kind of like Brandon Ingram has like the slashing ability. He has like the pull up, like mid range stuff. And to Brandon Miller's credit, Alabama did not let him do that. Like they were a threes and layups team. Nate Oates is pretty close to an NBA coach, X's and O's wise. Like they run a lot of good stuff. And maybe he just wasn't told to do that, but he just doesn't seem like a guy who has that in his bag to me. Like, he's not super fast. He's not super powerful. He's got good touch. Like, he's a very good shooter. Like, Jabari Smith is kind of more the comp, like, stylistically. Like, I think this guy is going to really be great if you have him next to, like, a Ja or even like a Luka. Like, you need a Trae Young. If he's, like, your number three guy on a good team, I think he can be really good. Like, I think he'll start. I think he will be a starter because he's big. Defense is okay. He can pass a little bit. He plays hard. And, like, he'll have his games where he has 35, 40. It's almost like maybe like Chris Middleton.
Okay.
Although Chris Middleton is the inverse of that. Chris Middleton is a contested shot, like, mid-range guy. But, like, you can't build an offense around Chris Middleton. But if he's just, like, your other star, that's something. But I'm just not taking that guy over. Maybe some drafts I take him two or three. I mean, last year maybe you could argue him for three. Especially if you weren't a believer in Chet. But not this year, man. I can't in good conscience put him over Scoot or Emmett Thompson. They're just two like super outlier guys to me.
So let's talk about the Twins then, because the Blazers have brought both of them in for workouts. They haven't brought Miller in yet, but I think they will at some point between now and the draft. So, you know, we'll talk about that when we talk about that. But they have brought Scoot in. They have brought the Twins in. Those are the only lottery guys that they brought in.
Yeah.
You're pretty high on them, man. You told me... And I'm actually kind of like, we're doing the reveal now, because you told me when we were talking about you coming on or what we wanted to talk about, that you had some comps for Amen. And I want to hear
one of them. Okay, one of them is on my Patreon, and it's kind of a joke comp. For a while, I just comped him to Amen Thompson. It's only like I
think okay.
But the guy he kind of, and I'm taking out the shooting, because the shooting, he can't shoot. Mm-hmm. So ignoring the shooting aspect of this comparison, but it's just like the way he moves, the way he sees the floor, the way he gets to loose balls, and just like the instincts he has and the passing ability. He's like, to me, if Tyrese Haliburton was also Gerald Green. Like, if you make Tyrese Haliburton like the best athlete alive, but took away his shooting, what is that? What kind of player is that? And like, I don't know. That's sort of why I'm so intrigued by him. But the other one I was really thinking of, and I've been thinking this for a while, so I'm not giving Ricky credit for. Honestly, I think if he really becomes like his best self, I think he's Scottie Pippen.
Okay.
Because like, I think he can really be, now I don't, the size is a little smaller. He's like 6'6 out of shoes, and he's probably not going to be like 225 like Scottie was, but I really think they both have that just ability to read and react and dominate people defensively. Like, they heat people up. They were torturing, and this isn't just overtime. They played in the basketball tournament, TBT last year. They lost their first game at the end to it was a team of like guys who played at Buffalo College. The thing is, though, these guys are all like 27, 28, you know, up to 30, 35 years old. And the Thompsons were like pushing them around, like destroying them physically. And like they both had like 14, 5, 5. Like, they didn't have huge games, but they were just so much better, like so much more athletic than grown adults. That it was just like almost comical. And I really feel like they both are just, it's a thing that we do in the draft sometimes. And this is going to be kind of this is why I had Jaden Ivey number one last year. And I still believe in that. Although I think I probably, I, Paolo was the best, had the best season, but it's just Ivy can do things physically that even NBA players cannot do, and it's why I'm always taking that guy over the Keegan Murrays, over the guys who we get obsessed with this in the draft, where like if you plot out like a chart of like what's this guy good at, and you have like shooting 3 out of 5, defense 3 out of 5, passing 3 out of 5, and you make it like well-rounded circle, that's a good player. That's not a star. Those players are never stars. The stars are the guys like Shea, who have weird skills, or the Steph Currys, the guys who have outlier ability. James Harden, Embiid, Jokic, Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant, he was obviously a star.
Right.
But like even the guys who develop into stars, or even like the Anthony Davis types, or like the guys who become like Trae Young. Trae Young is crazy outlier stuff. Even like a Jaren. Like Jaren can't really dribble. Jaren's not even that good of a rebounder for a center or a power forward, but he just has like elite ability other places. Those are the guys who become stars. And Amen Thompson, you'll sometimes see like people do strengths and weaknesses, and they'll be like strengths, passing, defense, athleticism, weaknesses, and they'll have this huge list of weaknesses. And it's like, you just ignored that this guy's like, it's not just that he's like really athletic. He is, I've heard this from the two people whose opinions I trust the most, Mike Gribanov and PD Webb. That we all agree he's the best athlete we've ever seen play basketball. Not counting like from like 2010 on. Like it's not even like he's a really good athlete. It's not just leaping. I think Ricky talked about this. He moves like he has hoverboards on his feet. Like he just has this ability to cover ground and turn and twist. That's crazy. Like I've never seen, I don't understand how he's not like a wide receiver. Like he's not like Jamar Chase or something. And then like the defense, I won't say the defense is that level outlier, but like, anytime they put him or his brother on, like they would play like Mikey Williams or like Rob Dillingham, like all these like superstar, super famous IG point guard, high school point guards. They'd put those guys on there, and it'd be like Jordan and Pippen defending Tony Kukoc in the Olympics. We're like, we're gonna kill this guy. Like you're not scoring. Mikey Williams was like 2 of 18 against them. Like they killed him. And then the passing is another weird football analogy. He has the Patrick Mahomes thing where like it just looks, he throws the ball so fast. He has some of the craziest like vision pass. It's one of those things. Like it's the Jokic, Halliburton has it, LeBron has it, Luka has it. Where I think if you sat him down and asked him, like, what did you see on this play? Like, what did you read the defense? He wouldn't know how to explain it, but he just can do it. Full court passes, like bomb passes. It's just crazy. And like, the issue with him, and I think the issue, I don't think the Blazers will take him, but it would be mitigated, the issue with him, is that, like, he kind of has to have the ball. That's kind of why I was hoping the Spurs, if they didn't get Wemby, would end up getting him, because they could just build a team around him. And I think that is the question with him. Sure, I had that question with Sharif Cooper, too, and it turned out that no NBA team could give him the ball because he's just so small.
Right.
And an average shooter and can't play defense. Difference is, Amen Thompson's 6'7". So, like, you don't have to worry about this guy being too small. And, like, Asar is the same player as him, just sort of, if you took those outliers and pushed him in a little bit, pulled out the other stuff, so he's a little more competent. And he's like Jason Richardson is kind of who I think he kind of plays like. So, like, I think he'll be good. Jason Richardson was a good player. Jerry Stackhouse, good player. Asar is more like that kind of next Jordan guy that you always heard about in like 2002, 2003.
Right.
You know, Isaiah Ryder, those guys. Where Amen is just like, I don't understand. Again, like Leonard Miller, how did this happen? Like, how did this guy get these specific skills? He's my favorite prospect to watch since I've been doing this, save maybe Shea. And Shea is my favorite basketball player. So, you know.
You were on Shea before anybody else that I knew.
That you knew, yeah.
That I knew. Yeah, you're obviously deeper into this than I am, but you were the first person like around that draft. Like that was the Luka Ayton, like that was that draft. You were the first person when the Clippers drafted him. You were the first person I heard say like, oh, the Clippers got like one of the, like maybe the best player, like obviously outside of Luka, but like you had him like, because
you could argue he's the second best player from that draft.
You could easily make that argument. He was first team all NBA. Like what? Like it's yeah. who just before we get, I want to get into some Scoot stuff quickly, because now you know it's looking as it gets close to the draft, it's looking more and more like that's the way Portland ends up going with the third pick. But I'm interested in your process. You've been doing this a long time. I've known you for probably 10-15 years now. You've been, you know, one of the guys that is on all of all of these guys. Who is the biggest prospect that you've missed on in both directions in your time doing this? Ooh. Who is somebody that you thought was going to be a superstar and then ended up not doing anything? And who is somebody that you were not a fan of and didn't believe in at all and ended up being really good?
I don't know if I'd say there's anyone I thought would be a superstar.
You know what it's I mean, though. Like, somebody you were really high
some
on.
Of these drafts, some of these drafts were weak enough that I had, like, I think I had Pokuševski at, like, 3 in that draft.
Uh-huh.
But that was more, again, and I thought he was going to be good. That was more kind of the thing I'm talking about, though, where, like, my FOMO for that guy, because I've never seen anything like him, was so high that I had to have him there. But Jarrett Culver is probably the guy I was most confident would be, like, really good. It just wasn't. And it's a strength issue. It's a getting to his own shot. Like, that's really what I learned from that. It's the guy couldn't get to his own shot. And then I'd say, see, I don't know if there's a guy that's like a star that I thought would be bad.
You weren't a huge Tatum guy, right?
No, but I wasn't really doing draft stuff. Like, that's why I started doing it more. Because I think I watched like 10 total college basketball games that year, and I thought he sucked. And then he was like good, and I was like, oh, I must have missed something. I'm going to pay more attention now. So I don't really think Tatum, I don't know if he counts for that. Because I really didn't. It was like normal fan levels of NBA, of like college basketball interest at that point. I wasn't watching everything. Not even close. I guess if you think, see, I don't know though, because I don't think Colin Sexton's like a star, and I thought he would be like bad. He's kind of what I thought he'd be, which is okay. He's all right. I think maybe the guy. This is going to be not a guy who's a star. I didn't think Quickley was good. Emmanuel Quickley was good at all, and like he is. He's pretty good. Like he's a solid player. Because I think I had him in like the 60s in that draft. I just didn't. I do have a weakness with if a guy is like a big recruit has a bad freshman year. It takes me a while to get back on. Quentin Grimes, another guy who was horrible his freshman year. And then it took me a while to like really buy him as a real prospect again. But I can, you know what? Really quick, I can look that up.
Where you
at? I can go to my Google Drive and look this stuff up. I have all of them except for 2018, which got deleted on accident, which I'm sad about. I can't prove that I liked Shea. There's nothing else I've ever said that says I like Shea.
No, I can vouch for this. You were on Shea pretty early, at least in my circle, probably in the scouting community and people you talk to, you weren't the only one that was on it, but you were the
Killian
first.
Killian Hayes. I was big on Killian Hayes.
Yeah.
But in that same draft, I was big on Tyrese Maxey, so I feel like that kind of evens out. I had him 4th.
Okay.
I mean, I was big on Halliburton, but I don't feel like I get credit for that. Like, I think it was just obvious he was a star.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, there's nobody really in that draft that I'm like feeling really guilty about. Let me look here. Even Patrick Williams. I had Wiseman 17. I feel good about that.
Can Scoot and Dame play together?
I think so.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I think so because I think Scoot, they're just too good. It's weird, though. It is. I can see why the Blazers fans would be nervous about having two 6'2 guys. Well, yeah. 6'2 guys in the backcourt. Scoot's just so much more, like, you can vouch for this. I could vouch for this in 2021 when I went to Summer League and Chet Holmgren walked past me on one side of the near the media
stadium. I was there when this happened. I saw this.
Yeah. And Scoot walked past me on the other side and my PD Webb was like, that's Scoot. And I was like, that's Scoot? I don't think he was that big. He is gigantic.
Yeah. Like, I just saw him up close the other day. Yeah.
I lost a lot of weight. I'm like 205, 210 now. I'm like 6'1 and a half, 6'2. He is twice as wide as I. Like, he is huge. And I really think he'll be fine guarding, like, if you're playing the Kings and he has to guard, like, Malik Monk, he'll be fine. He's not getting cooked. The issue is, like, taller players. Like, I don't know if he can guard, like, Devin Booker, but it's Devin Booker. I really don't think – I think – and the other thing is, too, let's be honest. How many seasons would they play together? 5?
Yeah.
4, 5?
At most. I mean, if Dame's got 4 years left on his deal, if he doesn't ask out, which I don't think is going to happen despite you know, the latest, yeah, you know, push to make it happen. I don't think
you can figure it out. And worst case, if Scoot does look like the guy he really could look like, which is Ja, De'Aaron Fox, Derrick Rose, Baron Davis, even get a little bit of Russ. Like, I think he's that level. Like, he could be like a top five point guard in the league. Then you could trade him if you really want to. Right. You would get a king's ransom. The Nets would not be asking for first round picks. They would be giving you first round picks and Mikal. If he looks like, if he becomes like even De'Aaron, like this version of De'Aaron, which is the guy I think he plays most like, despite the frame difference, because I was watching that Kings Warriors series. One of the biggest reasons that was as close as it was is that the Warriors would make a bucket and then they inbound the ball to De'Aaron. He'd be down the floor in like 2 seconds setting up, and you just couldn't, he would not stop pushing the ball. And that's really where I think Rose stuff comes from and De'Aaron stuff comes from. And like, Baron Davis is more frame. Baron Davis wasn't that fast, but like even Russ, when he was at his peak, you just like, or like a guy, like even the guy like Darren Collison, it'd just be like, he just doesn't get tired. He's really fast. He's really powerful. And you have to guard him 94 feet, because if he breaks contain and gets in the middle of the court, either he's getting a dunk or someone else, if anyone's running with him, they're getting a dunk. And if you're a team like the Blazers, who's now, you have Shaden, you have a guy, let's say you draft like Andre Jackson, let's say you draft, I don't know, Max Prosper. Those guys are running. Like, you're going in transition. And that's just 3 points. Let's say they trade Nurkic and Jeremy's on the team. Jeremy runs. Let's say they trade Nurkic and get a PJ Washington type. He's running. Like, you're moving. And I know transition offense is not a pillar of the NBA, but it's 3 points. And Scoot will get them. And then his craft is like a guy who can go around screens and actually attack the rim and like pick and choose where he shoots and scores from. It's really just great. It's really much improved. The only real question I have is not so much the shot, because again, I think he can shoot spot ups just fine. He did have enough. I think he had some injury problems, but I don't know the exact number. But last year, his first year with the G League, when he was playing behind, like with like Jaden Hardy and Michael Foster, and it wasn't a very good G League night team, but he was like a bench guy. He started some. He shot somewhere around 49% on like pull up twos, which is like Chris Paul numbers. Like, that's monster numbers. His volume went way up this year, and he was injured. I think he was like low 40s, which is still okay. But I think that's going to be his offense for a while, because teams are going to pack the paint if he's not surrounded by shooters, which would be the one concern with the Blazers fit with him, I think. But he's going to get to like 16 feet. He can get to it at will. You can't single cover him unless you're putting, the elite guard defenders on him, which I still don't think elite guard defenders matter that much. Like, Patrick Beverley can slap the floor as much as he wants. He's still going to get scored on. It's just a difference. He might be the kind of guy that you need to slide over like your actual all-star defenders on him. And he just creates it. The best way to describe him is he is a paint touch generator. If you want the ball to get into the paint, Scoot will get it into the paint. He may not score, but he's smart enough to find the pass, and he just looks, everything about him just looks like a guy who's going to be a starting point guard for 13, 14 years in the NBA. Possibly a Hall of Famer if things bounce right. I mean, that's the thing. If you're drafting, like, that's the thing I would say about the top three guys. Like, there's usually a Hall of Famer in most drafts, I would say. It's not uncommon.
Right.
And, like, maybe not the last year. Like, I don't know. Maybe Paolo. We'll see. But I don't know. That's the guy to me. Scoot is the number one guy. He'd be number one in a lot of drafts. Amen would have been number one last year, so Scoot would have been number one last year for me.
Couple more things on Scoot. Mm-hmm. How ready is he to contribute to a team trying to make the playoffs in year one? Because most rookies are not.
Yeah, I think that depends on where his
let's say it's Dame, Jeremy, Shaden, and then like they trade Simons for somebody else. It's like quality starter.
Yeah, it depends on how he and Dame can figure things out defensively. I think that's the only real issue, because Scoot has big, he's big and strong enough that I think he'd have to try to be bad defensively, but also he's a guard, like a full-time guard, and they don't matter that much defensively. And like, I the question is, does, I guess what I'm saying is, do you maybe you try and put Dame on the Malik Monk types, or maybe put him on, like, I don't know, who's like a two guard, like maybe not Beal, but like a guy who's like a secondary scorer who plays the two, like another team's Simons. Maybe you put him on there and you let Scoot handle the actual like point attack stuff. I don't know if that works. That's the question.
Okay. But, and so one other thing on Scoot, you mentioned, I mean, you alluded to him, you know, being injured for some of this year, and some of the players you compared him to were, you know, Derrick Rose, you know, Russell, like, how much of a, like, what is physically, like, is there anything that's like a long-term red flag? Is it all like incidental stuff, or is there not anything to be worried about?
Not that I've heard of. Okay. And he doesn't have like the Rose thing where it's like super violent cuts. He's a pretty, like, his center of gravity when he runs is pretty normal.
Uh-huh.
He runs kind of like a running back more than he, well, Rose kind of did that too, but Rose ran like a running back who didn't make it to 30. Scoot runs like a Frank Gore where he's just gonna, but I don't know of any, I think he just got bumped. And honestly, as much as the Ignite, and to their credit, they tried to play like a real D League team and like compete. It's an NBA prep. Like, they're prepping for the NBA. So he banged his hip and he sat out like 4 weeks. He had a mild concussion. He sat out like 3 weeks. So it was a lot of minor injuries that I don't think, in like an NBA playoff setting, he'd probably try and play through. But you don't, we know more and more, like, one of the big things with long-term injuries is just guys banging their, getting a bruise on their knee and just playing like the next day. You got to sit for a couple days. Like, you can't let that stuff, because that just does damage to your musculature and your ligaments. Because bones heal fine. Muscles take a little longer. Tendons and ligaments, they're kind of cartilage, all that stuff. It's, you get kind of one pass at it. And
yeah,
it's a little of a misnomer to have a guy, like, one guy is injury prone and one guy is not. It's like, I don't know. Draymond is as tough as anybody in the NBA, and Draymond's knees are bags of gravel at this point. Like, it's going to happen to everybody. I don't know of anything that I've heard that Scoot has, like, any particularly, he doesn't look like it. I mean, he's Bill. He looks like a guy who takes care of himself. I don't have any long-term injury concerns. But he's a 6'2 guard. He's going to get banged up. You know, he's going to have his job moments where he goes up and gets leveled and, you know, doesn't get up immediately and has, he'll miss a few games here and there. But unless something else happens, right now, I don't know of any significant injury concerns.
Okay. Well, that's good. This is all good to know. This has been very enlightening to me as much as, and I hope it is to people listening. Brian, tell everybody where they can get your stuff and your draft coverage.
Well, I had to remember what my Patreon's called. It's Brian J NBA.
We got it below. I see Nick put it. Yeah, Nick put it below.
That's my Twitter also. And yeah, I'm gonna have. I mean, I don't want to cost myself money here, but I will. I do a capsule big board every year, and I'm not sure if it's going to be next week or the week out. Might probably next week. I'm just going to make it free. It's almost done. I want to add a few more things to it. Because right now you can get it. I have two Patreon levels. You can get it at $5. And it's pretty much done. But I'm going to maybe move a few more guys around. There's guys in the two-way undrafted guys that I'm still watching a little bit of. I want to get a little better feel for. So I can go to Summer League and know who they are.
Right.
Like the Des Moines Hodges and the, you know, Omari Moore, all these guys that I didn't watch a whole lot during the season because I'm not watching. I mean, I guess I watch Missouri, but I'm not watching like UC Santa Barbara games that often. Not as much as I did. I did that a couple years ago. I would watch 15, 20 games a week, and I got burnt out. Like, at a certain point, I have to accept that there's just guys I'm not going to know. A lot of the overseas guys, aside from like Jurisic, who could be a guy they take at 23, by the way. That's a little early for him. But he's like 6'8 and can shoot. Like, he's just kind of flat-footed, but like, he can really shoot. Or like the maybe a little James Nagy, but like the second round undrafted guys, I've watched almost none of those guys this year. I don't have the time anymore.
I would highly suggest.
I don't have the bandwidth anymore, honestly.
I got you, yeah. I would highly suggest subscribing to Brian's Patreon. I'm a subscriber. I get a lot out of it. As somebody who's not that deep into the draft stuff, it's one of the things I look at this time of year to know who sort of know what I'm talking about. That's why I wanted to bring you on. So, Brian, thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.